Welcome to the Vineyard Church Message of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information on this podcast or other resources, go to vineyardlive.us. To learn more about us, go to thevineyardchurch.us.
Welcome to the Vineyard Church. So good to be together. You know, I'm very thankful for our Vineyard family. And some of you might not know this, but every weekend we're joined by hundreds of others at Sullivan, Bloomington, and online. So we're one big, hopefully happy family, as we have been challenged in this series. And I've had to make some course corrections, you know. I've had to give up again my attempts to control my husband. Happy. I'm a mother and grandmother. You know, we have this whole codependent thing going on. If mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. But then I try to make everybody happy, and that's misery. So I'm learning a lot, and I'm very, very thankful that Jesus is teaching us first and foremost to be rooted in his love. And that empowers us, you know, to give away to others. And we'll look at one last weed today, and it is the weed of conflict. I hate conflict. I have tried to avoid it my whole life. I'm not that great at resolving it, but this I do know. I know the power of forgiveness. And in many ways, I think this weed, it would be more appropriately entitled the weed of unforgiveness. Because we're all going to have conflict. If there's more than one person around, there's going to be conflict. And so the issue is, though, are we willing to face that in a way that we can give forgiveness to one another and not hold on to that weed of unforgiveness? And I know Jesus is very, very passionate about peace. He made it possible for us to be at peace with God and at peace with one another. And so I think he has a lot to say to us today about being peacemakers. And you know, forgiveness is not just a good idea, it is a God idea. So let's invite him. Father, it is. It's forgiveness is what it's all about. Your forgiveness for us, what we can give to others, that we might be the family that loves one another. Father, we admit our dependency again on you, Holy Spirit, to teach us, to empower us, to show us again the magnificence of Jesus, who he is, what he's done, how to walk in union with him. And we invite you here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. About a year ago, my friend Judy and I were praying for a couple who were struggling with infertility. They weren't part of our church family, but we pray for people from all over the world, actually. But this couple had come in and they were extremely desperate. They'd been trying to have a child for several years. They had had all the medical procedures and drugs. And actually, they are one of thousands of people that are then diagnosed with undiagnosed infertility. They can't figure out, like, what's causing it. And so as we gathered with them and they poured out their hearts, one of the things that we sense the Holy Spirit was saying is there anyone in your extended family that you're having conflict with? Or maybe that there's unresolved conflict, where there's unforgiveness. And they're both like, no, I don't think so. But you see, we're willing to wait because we know the Holy Spirit is a really good excavator. And he goes deep, right, to uproot. And as we waited, we watched him just begin to move on them. The tears kind of begin to fall. And sure enough, well, you know, come to think of it, like, it's not that big a deal, but, and they shared. And they were harboring unforgiveness. And Judy led them in a beautiful prayer of repentance and just extending forgiveness. And it was a very, very powerful time of prayer. It seemed unrelated to pregnancy, right? Well, not so much. We laid hands on them, asked the Holy Spirit to bring the healing and the blessing of a baby, and I'm happy to report in less than 2 months, I think it's actually 6 weeks, they will meet their baby boy. So it's so good because, you know, forgiveness is very powerful. And conversely, unforgiveness is deadly. It's damaging and it's deadly. And you don't have to take it from me. I've been doing some research over the last couple years, actually, on this. Dr. Steven Staniford, he's the chief surgeon at the American Centers for Cancer Treatment. And he said that unforgiveness now is being classified as a disease. As a disease. You know, unforgiveness, our body's an integrated being. Okay? It's not just, well, here's our emotions, here's our body. No, they work together. And unforgiveness tends to settle in cells that then can't do their job. It shuts down our immune system. It can cause cancer. They say 61% of cancer cases are related to unforgiveness. And so I thought this was an interesting statement. He said, refusing to forgive makes people sick, keeps people sick. Now, don't take that as an indictment if you're sick, okay? Or if you have cancer. I hope you take it as, oh, this could be significant in my receiving my healing. Okay, so don't feel condemned by that by any means. Dr. Alex Lloyd, a very well-known psychologist, said he has never seen a health problem where unforgiveness is not an issue. And then I thought, well, you know, I'm going to Google Mayo Clinic because they're like the most reputable place, you know, in the world, I think, medically. And sure enough, they had a whole article on encouraging, actually endorsing, prescribing forgiveness as an important part of treating cancer and other serious diseases. So I'm like, whoa, like this is real. This is not just some spiritual concept. They're prescribing forgiveness. You know, they're agreeing with Jesus, which is good because he's the great physician, right? And by the way, I think you can teach people to forgive. You can encourage them to forgive. It takes Jesus and knowing Jesus to truly forgive. But be that as it may, I'm going to look at what he had to say here on Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, where he is encouraging, and I'm reading this from the Passion Translation. He said, how blessed you are when you make peace, for then you will be recognized as a true child of God. Okay, that's truth. Like, how blessed. That's not just some nice little, oh, be blessed. That word means how happy, how healthy, how prosperous. I mean, who doesn't want that? How blessed you are when you choose to make peace, resolve conflict, forgive those who have hurt you and offended you. Let it go. How blessed you are. And then you will be recognized as a true child of God. I mean, that's my desire. We're made in the image of God. We're sent to reflect his image wherever we go, to give away what he's given us. I want to be recognized as a true child of God who lives under the Father's blessing, whose life has been redeemed and filled with all the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus makes it possible for us to be peacemakers, and to resolve conflict, to forgive one another. So the question is, why don't we? Why don't we forgive each other? Why do we hold on to grudges and unforgiveness? Why do we refuse to resolve conflict? Well, first of all of our personalities are different. I know that. And we approach conflict differently. As I said, I don't like conflict. I've tried to avoid it, and that is not good. I'm what is known as a peacekeeper. That's not good. Like, you try to keep the peace. Try to keep everybody happy and don't. But that pushes conflict down. It's not resolved. It's just festering down there with bitterness and unforgiveness already right below the surface. Now, I happen to be married to a peace disturber. Yeah, Happy's never met a fight he didn't enjoy. And it's true. It's okay. It's just as bad as a peacekeeper, you know, peace disturber, if you're not willing to resolve, if you're not willing to live in forgiveness, continual forgiveness. And thankfully, you know, for almost 50 years, we've learned to do that. Thank you, Lord. But, you know, I will say this about Happy. He is extremely good and quick at forgiving and forgetting. I don't know if it's due to his older age or not, but he does forget very quickly. And that's good, okay? So it might be your personality, but there are other reasons why we don't forgive. If you think just in your own life, you dial up. Unforgiveness feels powerful. It feels very powerful. Yeah, I want to hold that grudge. I do. But how many of you know that holding a grudge is like drinking the poison and believing it's killing the other person? Most of the time, they don't give a rip. They don't. But why does it feel that way? It's so deceptive because we just feel like our holding on and refusing to forgive. And so that's one reason we don't forgive. No, others, we do have a personality that's more justice. What they did was wrong. It needs to be made right. There's someone who made it right, and his name is Jesus. And he said, hold on, vengeance is mine, I'll handle it. Okay? But again, it feels so right, right? To, you know, like, no, I don't get mad. Yeah, I don't get mad. I just get even. It's not good. It's not good. Now, I am aware, you know, there's everyday conflicts. You know, we're forgiving each other all the time, hopefully. And then there's the ones that are much, much deeper, much more painful. You know, some of you, you've suffered abuse. I mean, there's women in here who've been raped. You know, I was reading a fascinating book called Left to Tell by a woman who endured the Rwandan genocide in 1994, where 1 million people were slaughtered in 100 days. And she hid in a closet for 3 months. And she escaped, but other than one other brother, her entire family was murdered. And I don't mean just killed, like slaughtered, murdered. And she shares her journey of learning to forgive and how God worked that in her heart. I find it so fascinating because I'm like, Lord, if she can forgive and genuinely forgive, wow. I think almost anybody, you know, could do that with your help, of course, Lord. So, you know, forgiveness can be hard. I know, it can be scary. It can feel like, well, if I forgive them, I'm like letting them off the hook. Mm-hmm. Well, they might do it again. Mm-hmm. And I think Jesus said, if that happens, we forgive not once, not twice, 70 times 7. Whoa. I think we need his help there. We need the forgiver himself, which, you know, I think probably one of the main reasons, I'll share this in my own life, a significant difference in really walking in forgiveness. Like, you can forgive, but I'm talking like walking, living in forgiveness, like truly being free, was when I grasped in a much deeper, fuller way the forgiveness that Jesus had purchased for me. Now, you see, what he purchased for me is the same that he purchased for that rapist and for that murderer and for that abuser and for that spouse and for that friend who betrayed you. That's the same because he's forgiven us all of our sins, past, present, future, cast them into the sea of forgetfulness, and he invites us to walk in the freedom of that for ourselves and for others. That's called amazing grace. Amazing grace. And so, you know, if we don't forgive, there are consequences, as I said, deadly consequences, not to mention just how our relationships suffer with one another, obviously with Father, God. And then, you know, this is a big one. I'm going to emphasize this today because it's been another one that's been so powerful in my own life. Do you know that unforgiveness blocks the power of prayer? You know, I don't know about you. I need the power of prayer. Every day, I need prayers answered, whether it's about healing or family situations or finances, the world. I mean, I hope we take advantage of what the Father's invited us into. Come boldly to my throne. Ask. Oh, but there's some other instructions here. Jesus said very clearly, this is in Mark 11, 24 and 25. He says this. Whoops. We'll just let that fly down there. He says, therefore, I tell you, everything you pray and ask for, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. I mean, isn't that an incredible promise? What do you need? He says everything. 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 Just ask. Believe that you receive it, and it will be yours. Like, that's pretty amazing. I want to serve a God that makes those kinds of promises. Okay, let's go on. And whenever you stand praying, If you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Ah, so that your Father in heaven will also forgive you your wrongdoing. Okay, so I can pray for anything, but by the way, when I am standing or kneeling or sitting praying, stop. If I have anything against anyone, forgive them. So my Father in heaven will forgive me. I'm going to address that in a moment because that can be somewhat confusing. You see, are you perplexed by unanswered prayer? Like, are you praying for things that just don't seem to get answered? And you've prayed and prayed and prayed. You're like, I don't know. Maybe it's not God's will. Well, I want to suggest that perhaps it's because you're holding on to unforgiveness and it is damming up not only the flow of God's forgiveness through your life, but the answer to your prayer. And that is very significant because our Father wants us to have this amazing relationship of trust in Him, just trusting Him for what we need, asking Him, believing He wants us to give it. But you know what's more important to our Father than our receiving what we ask for? Our relationships are at peace. We love one another. You know, He's a Father who wants His family to get along. Okay, now, I want to look more closely at the last part of this verse because it's really important and it can be easily misunderstood. You know, when it says, make sure you forgive so your Father in heaven will forgive you, like, wait a minute. Is it my work of forgiveness? Is it dependent on God forgiving me? I thought my forgiveness was dependent on the work of Jesus, not the work of me. Okay? So it's really important that we get a clear understanding here. And I'm going to put on my teacher hat here for a moment and going to look because what this is a critical point. This is the foundation of all conflict resolution. Like if we get this, we have a fresh empowerment to forgive others. Okay, so this is it. And it has to do with our relationship with God. It has to do with His forgiveness of us. Okay, what's that all about? Well, Jesus is very serious, as we know, about peace, right? He came. Now, He was kind of a peace disturber. When you read the scripture, you know, He had whips, He turned over tables, He confronted people, but ultimately He was the Prince of Peace, bringing peace. Why? Because He knew we needed peace with God. We're made in the image of God. We're sons and daughters of God, but our relationship is messy because of sin. Our relationship is not one of intimacy and oneness and trust with the Father because sin has messed it up. We need help. Now, remember the first week I said a really important point. It is that Jesus came and He is not just an example for us. He's an example of us. And everything that He did, including going to the cross, He does not just go as an example. He goes as us. He takes us. This is really important when we see Jesus came. He endured all kinds of conflict, right? He was mocked, rejected, scourged, all kinds of conflict. I mean, obviously beaten, ultimately crucified. And in that act, He takes on Him the chastisement of our peace. He takes on Him all of the conflict in the world with the enemy, you know, in regards to sin, all the conflict of people. He goes, I take that, I shed my blood, and I defeat the enemy, I rise again, and I say, now you have all your sins forgiven, past, present, and future. Here is the gift of forgiveness, a brand new life. You're made clean and holy, and I'm going to move inside of you as the Prince of Peace to empower you to give away what I've given you. That's the gospel in 2 minutes. But that's actually the foundation. It's very difficult long-term to continue to give away forgiveness to other people who've really hurt you, rejected you, betrayed you, abused you, if you don't have the Prince of Peace Himself who paid the price and lives inside of you, empowering you to be free from that and to give away forgiveness. And that's the foundation. You know, Paul wrote about it in Colossians. It's so beautiful. He says this in Colossians 1, for in Him, that's Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to recognize to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Wow. We have peace with God. See, I don't think some of us believe that. Or we think that he's constantly counting our sins against us. No, the blood of Jesus wiped out your sin. God actually says, I remember them no more. And that actually applies to all people. Have all people received that? No. But that's not our business. We treat them. We forgive them. We release them from unforgiveness on the basis of what? Jesus' blood has forgiven them. Jesus' blood has wiped out that sin. It's very, very powerful. So, you know, we can freely now forgive others. We can make peace because the peacemaker lives in us. So good. Now, we can look briefly back again at Mark 11:25. And I always say this, when we're reading texts that were written before the cross, you know, where it was written before Jesus did what he did, you know, as us, right? Then we have to put on our sunglasses, our S-O-N glasses. We have to read it knowing what the Son of God has done. And that's extremely important, or we end up misunderstanding. We think that prayer is this transaction where I got to forgive people so God will forgive me. No, prayer is this awesome relationship of trust in the one who has totally forgiven you and empowers you to give forgiveness to other people. And so as we look again at Mark 11:25, he says, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven will also forgive you your wrongdoing. Well, we're forgiven. But if you want to receive the flow of that forgiveness, not on the basis of your work, on the basis of Jesus' work, Jesus is saying, I want you to forgive. If you're holding anything against anybody, forgive. And then let the forgiveness of the Father flow again to your life, bringing you a clean conscience, empowering you to receive, actually, the blessings of the Father. The Father is, again, all about having a family that gets along. More important than you're receiving the specific answer to prayer, as much as that's important to him, relationships are so much more important. And we can live in the reality of that forgiveness of one another, again, through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. So, and we get to get answers to prayer and have a healthy body to boot. Now, Jesus doesn't leave us going, okay, how do I do that? And I'll be the first to admit, you know, forgiveness can be complex. And it's huge. And depending on the relational difficulty, it can be monumental. But Jesus gives us some really simple directions. I didn't say easy. Okay, there is a difference. They are simple. And this is in Matthew 5, back where we started today, a Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus talks a lot in the Sermon on the Mount about relationships. Again, it's so important to the Father that we love, like we really love. And we really love those we don't want to love. And he's made it possible. See, that's why Jesus shed his blood, that we could be made new and be indwelt by him and live out a relationship of love on the earth. So Jesus said, when you have conflict, okay, I want to tell you, don't get angry. Okay, don't get angry. And I don't want you to get into name calling. Okay, this is in Matthew 5. And he goes on now. He says, this is how I want you to conduct yourself in these matters. If you enter your place of worship and about to make an offering, you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you. Abandon your offering, leave immediately, go to this friend, make things right. Then and only then, come back and work things out with God. Or say you're out on the street and an old enemy accosts you. Don't lose a minute. Make the first move. Make things right with him. Ooh. So he's like, did you note the urgency here? Like he keeps repeating himself. Like, abandon what you're doing. Go immediately. Leave. Don't lose a minute. Make the first move. Jesus is really serious here. And he says, you know, you might even be coming to worship. You know, you might be coming or you might be doing something totally ordinary. That's not even the point. And you suddenly remember. Do you know that's often how the Holy Spirit works? It pops into our mind, right? Like, why am I thinking of that person? Oh, yeah, that's right, Lord. Okay. He says, stop what you're doing. Stop. Now I want you to go. Now, I want you to know the first thing, he's going to give you four things. The first thing you must know, almost all forgiveness is done in faith. It's done in faith. Faith in what Jesus has already done for us and wants us to do through us. It's faith, not feelings. And when it comes to forgiveness, that's huge because I hardly ever feel like forgiving, ever. You just don't. I mean, you don't feel like it. But Jesus says, I want you to go in faith. Okay? Now, I want you to go fast. And sometimes we can and sometimes we can't. I mean, it's again, he's just giving us a general steps. The point is, don't let it fester. If you let unforgiveness fester, ooh, it goes deep. And then those roots of bitterness, they are hard to uproot, okay? Really bearing bad, bad fruit. So go in faith, go fast. And now I love this part. Go face to face. Not Facebook. No, not Facebook. Oh, but it's so much easier. Send them a text, you know, put it on Facebook. I'll make it private, Lord. No, if possible. Now, I know sometimes, again, like geographically, it's not possible or the person might be dead. No, go. Go in faith. Go fast. Go face to face and forgive. Make it right. Now, can that person reject that? Absolutely, they can reject it. You know, but you want your conscience to be clear. You want your prayer channel to be clear, right? And so, and I think, you know, he says here, you might bump into somebody on the street. You know, of course, I would, an enemy. I like to think of it this way. You know, Happy and I are pastors of a church. We've been pastors of this church for 40 years. There's a lot of people that have left our church. And it's almost always hard. I don't care who it is. It's almost always hard. You take it personally. You work through grudges. Okay, you think you do it, but then there you are at Kohl's. Oh, no, there she is. You know what I want to do? I want to run into the dressing room. Yeah. I don't want to go face to face. But I have learned, after many failures, the Prince of Peace is so willing to empower me. First of all, reminding me again how much he loves that person, has forgiven that person. And all I have to do is embrace them warmly. Make it right if it isn't right. Now, Hat, on the other hand, he is awesome. We go to Menards. I mean, you're going to run into three or four ex-Vineyardites at Menards for sure, okay? And, you know, I'm like, oh, no, there's, you know. He's like, oh, hey, hi, how are you? Hey, haven't seen you for a while. You know, come on back. I mean, he's awesome. He is. Like, Lord, I want to be more like that. Because I feel that's the heart of the Lord. And, again, there's times you have to make it right for sure. But other times it's just okay. And I have found we sometimes think we have forgiven someone, and we have, but there's layers, okay? And it's often tested by an encounter. Yeah, and so a friend of mine was telling me last night, she lost her teenage son tragically in a car accident. And the car was given to the boy by a parent. And so she said, you know, like, that was the big issue of forgiveness for me through the years, is forgiving that man for letting my 14-year-old son drive a car, he and his friend. And they were both killed, very tragic. And so she said, I had forgiven him, but that was years ago, but she's in the recent past, she had been at a funeral and had gone to the gravesite, and lo and behold, there was that parent. And she said, my stomach started to churn. I just was angry. There was like, oh, oh. And she said, I knew there was more work to be done. I knew it. And she went right home to her husband. He prayed her through, just releasing forgiveness again by the power of the Holy Spirit. My point being, you know, sometimes it takes multiple times. The thing that the Lord is watching, though, for, if we know, will we go in faith? Will we go fast? You know, will we forgive? Will we go face to face if necessary? It's simple, but it's not easy. And, you know, I have other motivations, actually. You know, the Apostle Paul, again, the scripture is so motivating. He says in Ephesians 4, like, don't ever let the sun go down on your anger. Like, don't. I mean, it's just, again, it's a description of don't go to bed with an unresolved conflict. Don't do it. You might say, oh, but I can't. No, don't do it. And so Happy and I have lived by this, because when you read the whole scripture in context, Paul says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold. Do you want to give the devil a foothold? Then don't forgive. Keep holding on to the grudges. See, I don't want to give the devil. I have enough trouble just like life, okay? I don't want to give the devil a foothold. And even when I'm quite not ready to forgive Hap, because, you know, he's already forgiven and forgotten, I'm holding on a little bit. You know, I need to be mad a little bit longer. And then we go to bed, the sun's down, and I know I've got to do the forgiveness foot tap. Forgiveness foot tap. See, I hold on to his foot, not giving the devil a foothold. And we know that that means in the morning when we awaken and we have our time of prayer together, we will enjoy what the Apostle Peter tells us in Peter 3. He says, husbands, wives, get it resolved. Treat one another with respect and honor so your prayers are not hindered. There we go again. I don't want that prayer channel clogged. And so I want forgiveness to flow between one another, and I want to enjoy the forgiveness of God that's already mine by the blood of Jesus. But so I think it's really, again, not easy, but these are simple steps, and with the empowering of the Holy Spirit, we can say yes to it. And it is, the text here says, when you know somebody has a grudge against you, and that's, you know, probably because you did something really wrong, okay? I mean, one of the hardest times in our life was when Happy and I gotten filled with the Spirit. We spoke in tongues. We were so excited. We were telling everybody. And our parents were so offended, so hurt, because to them it meant we were leaving the faith that they embraced and that somehow they weren't good enough. And we kind of acted like that. It was bad. We hurt them. And we knew we had to go. We knew they were holding a grudge against us, not necessarily right, but we had caused the problem. And it wasn't easy to go. And, you know, we asked them to forgive us. It actually took years for all of that to heal. I'm happy to report it did heal. But it can take time. But take the initiative. Go. Even, you know, if you know it's, you know, something you caused for sure, but it also might be just a grudge that you have against somebody. And all of us have that. I'm going to challenge you today as we go to worship that you are asking the Holy Spirit, okay, pop that person's name into my head. Maybe it's a friend or a family member or a coach who's treating your kid unfairly, a boss that overlooked you for a promotion. I mean, there's so many things. And the Holy Spirit's such a good excavator. He wants to bring that up. He wants to bring it to our remembrance so that we today, we can just let it go. You know, we may later then hopefully go face to face, reconcile in the way that we can to make it right with that person. And, you know, again, the benefits, oh my goodness, how blessed you are when you make peace. You will be recognized as a true child of God. And guess what? Your body will be a whole lot healthier and your prayers will get answered. So, Father, I thank you. You make it simple, but not easy. We depend on you. We look to you. We thank you for reminding us of what you've done, Jesus, for us, for everyone, and for empowering us by your Spirit to give it away every day. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the message today. To experience more powerful messages, go to vineyardlive.us. Or join our Vineyard Life Plus community to view conferences, trainings, and special teachings.